Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell welcoming you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. And because this is now Holy Week, I should like to talk about continuing the sense of the imitation of Christ, but to focus on what is revealed about Christ in these events of Holy Week. What is the meaning of that revealed? The last words that were spoken by Christ from the cross were, "Consummatum est," it is finished. Now this is meant in a double meaning, as is true of so much of the Gospel of John. It means not only that this is the end, that in fact with his death, his life here on earth seems to have ended. But it can also mean it is complete. It has been brought to its purpose. And in the suffering and death and resurrection of Christ, we have what the Church has called the definitive revelation of who God is, not only in himself, but for us. And before our Lord spoke those last words, he also said simply, "I thirst," meaning, of course, a human desire for some refreshment, but also, "I thirst for those who are looking upon this scene. I thirst for their faith. I thirst for their hearts and their minds." And in a scene which tells us of the final revelation of God to us, meaning it is complete, there's nothing more to be said, there is silence. And that extraordinary silence of the Passion of Counts is important to remember. When you hear those Passion accounts, I hope that you find it remarkable how little our Lord actually says. All the chatter, all the other words are spoken by those around him, those, in fact, who have plotted and bring his death to fulfillment. But how quiet our Lord is. And this silence is the silence of God waiting for us to make a response. Now that the fullness of God has been revealed in Jesus Christ, what are we to say? And in fact, in that silence, we need to reflect on the meaning of the events that we have witnessed and the meaning of our lives in the light of those events. We look back over the preceding days of our Lord's mission to understand what our Lord is proposing to us. In a sense, the new life that he is calling us to lead is a return to the beginning of human existence in the Garden of Eden, when in fact we were created in the image and likeness of God and lived in communion with God, a communion that was disrupted and destroyed by sin. But yet in Jesus Christ, there's something greater than a simple return to that first existence in the Garden of Eden. For now we are called to communion with God, but added to this, an actual participation in his life. For as Paul says, in Jesus Christ, our life is now hidden in God with him. And that restoration that the Easter liturgy calls the wonderful, happy fault of Adam and Eve that allowed our Lord to come among us and to create for us the possibility of a life beyond our imagining. So that we are called to both friendship with God and to become like God through Jesus Christ. Now, as we gaze upon the cross, we realize the new life requires a giving up and sacrifice. Understanding that the word sacrifice means not simply a loss, but rather being made into something holy, into something sacred. There has to be a purified understanding of why we are here and what are we to do. And we have to call ourselves to a discipline of our will so that we might choose our days aright, fill them with the good and the truth of God. We come to understand the new commandment of Jesus Christ and the meaning of authentic love. For as the Lord tells us, love one another as I have loved you. And I think this is the reason why the church insists that in every church there be an image of the crucified one, that we might be reminded of the meaning of love and the nature of sacrifice. We look also at the virtue of obedience. As Jesus was obedient to his heavenly Father for our good and for the salvation of the world. And to remember that the word obedience, first of all, means a careful listening. An opening of our ears to hear what is true, and then to do that which we know to be true and to be part of our lives. And in these days of Holy Week, we know sorrow, repentance, mercy, and renewal. And in the celebration of Easter, we come to realize that ours is a joy that perdures forever. For our Lord, once offering his life for us, lives now forever with his heavenly Father. Remembering that Jesus Christ is both the perfect icon of God the Father and at the same time the perfect icon of the human person made in the image and likeness of God. Again, the question with which I ended last week's meditation. Who is this Christ and what are we to do? And of course, this is how do we imitate that Christ whose suffering and death and resurrection we are invited to participate in now. And again, I turn to the example of three saints. These saints were present at that scene in Calvary. Mary, Mary Magdalene, and John the Apostle. And I suppose we could add to them, in a different tone, the newly converted Dismas, the good thief, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, members of the Sanhedrin, who quietly were converted to Christ. And I mention also someone from a legend in the church has proved very popular. That is the centurion who cried out at the death of Christ, truly, this was the Son of God. That centurion who probably pierced his side, allowing the life-giving blood and water to flow out onto the ground of our lives. Legend also gives him a name, Longinus. But I look at the three that had followed Jesus throughout his mission. Mary, his mother, who became perfectly attuned to the will of God through her son and remained faithful until the very end. Mary Magdalene, whom we are told Jesus cast out seven devils. But Mary Magdalene, in response to that profound gift of deliverance, turned her faithfulness toward the Lord. And John the disciple, interestingly enough, the only member of the original 12 who apparently did not suffer a martyr's death, but lived into old age to record his gospel and the power of Jesus Christ. John, the youngest of the disciples, but also the one who silently looked on, considered, meditated on the meaning of the events, and poured them in a purified form into his gospel. Thinking of that event at Calvary, we now proceed through the celebration of Holy Week. I pray that this Holy Week bring you an extraordinary enrichment of mind and heart, an expansion of your spirit, and a profound joy in the risen Lord who suffered and died for us that we might live forever.